Blog Talk Radio.
Out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, out of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself any carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities. Iniquities, another word, is sin, of the fathers on the children of the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. So do not hate God. You don't want to punish your grandchildren or great-great-grandchildren, great-grandchildren, but showing mercy, love, to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. That means to misuse or make talk that is not right about God. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Now let's turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 12, verse 32, quickly. And then I'll get back to the Ten Commandments. Matthew, chapter 12, verse 32 reads, "And anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven in either in this age or in the age to come. So therefore, do not take the name of the Lord God in vain. You will be, he will not hold you guiltless. You will be guilty. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Of course, you know the Sabbath day is Saturday. Today, Saturday. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Hallowed means to make it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Thank you, Lord. You shall not murder. So what do you not understand about that? There are 6 things the Lord hates, even 7. And you can find that in Proverbs chapter 6, starting at verse 16. He does not want you to shed innocent blood. Abortion is murder, that shedding of innocent blood. It doesn't matter what the law says. When we're talking about God, you are to be obedient to God. The law is a man-made law. You're talking about saving your soul. And one of his commandments is, do not murder. So there's nothing hard to understand about that. I remember when I first had my internet program where people could watch me talk with them, I was telling them the story about how I came about to feed my sheep. And in that story, in that dream, I saw a mountain of babies. This mountain was so huge, it was almost blocking out the sun. And the babies were coming in like this, soup, 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 every second. Well, and this is when the Lord told me to feed his sheep. Well, I didn't want to do that. I'm so glad now that I'm obedient. I'm feeding you, God's sheep, those of you who would listen to me. Now, on my very first program on Blog Talk Radio, I spoke of that dream that I had. You can go back and listen to that, if you will, to that particular program. But I want you to remember this. Do not murder. And while I was on that program telling this story, I almost got up. I didn't know what to do because I heard in my right ear where the voice of a male that was calm, concise, and loving. You know, it was just what was said to me, and I repeated it. But I didn't know what to do. I'm glad I said it. He told me in my right ear, now that you know the truth, now that you know, if you abort your child and that baby dies, then you have chosen your own death. So that's my mission, to tell you not to abort your baby. If you've done it, that's done. But do not do it again, now that you know. Because you don't want to go into the lake of fire and be tormented. The 7th commandment, you shall not commit adultery. Adultery is one having sexual relations with people other than their spouse. So husband, be faithful to your wife. Wife, be faithful to your husband. Do not commit adultery. The eighth commandment, you shall not steal. Number nine, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Do not give a testimony of a lie against your neighbor, or do not lie on your neighbor. The tenth commandment, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, or his ox, or his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. Covet means to desire, to crave, to want. You don't want your whatever your neighbor has. Be happy for that person and not want what that neighbor has. Our Father in heaven, God, the creator of me and all things, I humble myself as I pray. We sheep thank you for your mercy, your patience with us, your peace, giving us good health, giving us sane minds, prosperity, giving us prosperity in all things. We thank you for our family. We thank you for protection from the evil one and keeping us and from the evil one and keeping Detroit, Michigan out of the hands of the oppressor forever and ever. Amen. Hi there, sheep. I am Sandra Harris. You are listening to the Feed My Sheep Show. Happy Sabbath day, everybody. You know to have your Bible. You know the routine. My Bible is the King James Version. My Bible may read a little different from yours. You have your glass of water, your pen, paper, or pencil handy. Just in case I may say something that you might want to take note of. Yes, I am having this conversation directly with you. How about that? Yeah. I have a few things that I want to say before I start reading today's lesson that's found in Matthew chapter 17. I have begun reading a portion of that. Hopefully today I will read it all in its entirety. Let me just say a few words about what I said last week about the sun and moon. Now, on yesterday, Friday, April 27th, around 7:05 a.m., the sun rose from the west counterclockwise and moved to the east. The sun set in the east around 8:30 p.m. That shape. A subtle change is happening in the atmosphere. Let us watch and take note. You don't have to take my word for it. You study it for yourself. Look at the sky. Right now in Detroit, Michigan, it's a cloudy day. It looks and it's, I went out this morning and looked. It's kind of cold and I think it might rain a little bit. So that's what I want you to do. Check for yourself. I have told you that. I have not seen the moon since April the 8th in the evening. Now, I have seen the moon around 9 o'clock during the daytime, and that I thought that was odd. I'm reminded of a lesson that I was taught years and years and years ago while I was in high school about the Maya Indians and this French physician, astronomer named Nostradamus. But they predicted the end of the world. But Nostradamus, his prediction is the one that has me watching the sky, he predicts that the end of the world is going to happen December the 21st, 2012. But let me say this to you. Matthew chapter 24, verse 36 says, no one knows the day or the hour when the Son of Man comes. So, and we cannot change that anyway. What's happening in the atmosphere, we cannot change. We just be prepared. Just know what's going on around you. And I'm asking that you repent. You change your lifestyle, your way. Change your way to live for the way of God. I have just read to you Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17. That's where you can find the Ten Commandments, what I started reading out to you. And then I want you to read Revelation chapter 21, verses 7 and 8. And I also want you to read Leviticus chapter 11. And let's try to get our house in order in case so that when God does come, the Son of Man come, we will be prepared and we will be able to go on with God. Let's go to Matthew chapter 17. And I'll start reading there. And I pray that God will allow me to read the entire chapter before the end of this program. Verse 17. Now, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, brought them up on a high mountain by themselves, and was transfigured before them. You know, transfigured, that means like the outward appearance changed. But I'm thankful that the inward appearance did not change. Jesus did not change his inward appearance. He just changed his outer appearance before Peter, James, and John. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here 3 tabernacles. That's like churches of God or tents. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright light overshadowed them. And suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. So I think that what we need to do is read the books of Peter, James, and John. And if it's God's will, I will get to those later in this year. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. Now this is where I left off at last week. Verse 7, let's read. But Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and do not be afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. Now as they came down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, saying, tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man is risen from the dead. And his disciples asked him, saying, why then do the scribes say that Elijah must come first? And Jesus answered and said, Elijah truly is coming first and will restore all things. But I say to you that Elijah has come already, and they did not know him, but did to him whatever they wished. Likewise, the Son of Man is also about to suffer at their hands. So Jesus is telling him, hey, I'm about to be murdered. Then the disciples understood that he spoke to them of John the Baptist. So what I understand here, sheep, is that what the disciples are understanding is that Elijah is John the Baptist. Now, I could be wrong. You take the word of God, what's written in this book. You don't take my word. Chapter 17, verse 14. And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him, and said, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water." Can you imagine that? Your child may fall in water and drown. Oh, no. God, please forbid. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, "O faithless and perverse generation." You see, now, perverse means to do the things that are not normal. How long will I be with you? How long will I bear with you? Bring him to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon that came out of him. Rebuke means to disapprove or to criticize that person or thing. So Jesus rebuked that demon, and the demon came out of the boy, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast him out?" So Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief. For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." I wish I'm trying to have that type of faith. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. So that type of demon, I guess there are different types of demons, and that one will not go out of you except for prayer and fasting. Now, while they were staying in Galilee, Jesus said to them, "The Son of Man is about to be betrayed by the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And the third day he will be raised up." He will be raised up. And they were exceedingly sorrowful. Now, you know, Jesus was murdered on a Friday. So Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. The third day was a Sunday. And when they had come to Capernaum, those who received the temple tax came to Peter and said, "Does your teacher not pay the temple tax?" He said, "Yes." And when he had come into the house, Jesus anticipated him, saying, "What do you think, Simon?" He's talking about Simon Peter. And the names of the 12 disciples can be found in the book of Matthew, chapter 12. Let's see. And he said, and when he had come into the house, Jesus anticipated him, saying, "What do you think, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth take customs or taxes? From their own sons or from strangers?" Then Peter answered him, "From strangers." Jesus said to him, "Then the sons are free. Nevertheless, lest we offend them, go to the sea, cast in a hook, and take the fish that comes up first. And when you have opened its mouth, you will find a piece of money. Take it and give it to them for me and you." So they were both strangers in Galilee at that time. And thank you, Father, for allowing me to finish reading chapter 17. And when we come back the next time, we'll pick up our reading at chapter 18. I found that the book of Matthew is a fascinating read, and I want to finish all of it so that you will know. I encourage you to go into a shepherd house where they teach the word of God. It's fun. I like to hear preachers when they preach hooping and hollering. I really enjoy that. But I know when they're saying something that is not right. And I want you all to be that way. If they preach something that is not right, you could likely leave that church. I do encourage you to find a church home and settle there and be faithful, you know, and study the word of God. But you have to study the words in the Bible for yourself so you will know whether or not I or any preacher that talks about the word of God is telling the truth. Let's have a closing prayer. Let me have a closing prayer. Our Father in heaven, thank you for this day, for allow us sheep to rejoice in this day and be glad in it. Protect us from the evil ones and give us this day our daily bread and lead us not into temptation and forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. Amen. Amen. Remember, sheep, take God along with you everywhere you go. And if it is God's will, I will be back with you next time. Jesus, he's love.
my heart.